Welcome to Session 3 of A New Can of Worms, a Star Frontiers RPG Actual Play podcast. In this session, the PCs catch the murderer, defend the village from a pack of quick deaths, and capture a live, unconscious Sathar. Who was here last time that one can give us a summary?
I was here?
I think you were the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the Saturday game we played, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I missed that one.
All right, Shane, fill him in.
Well, we went to town. We followed a whole bunch of bad leads. Eventually, we wound up... I think we set up cameras. We bought and set up cameras. It's not an orchard. It's not an orchard. It's just a sand
tree. It's a grove, yeah.
North of town. We set up cameras. We set up two banks of cameras in two different areas of trees. But north of town in a grove, when we were searching, we were trying to find out more about those little animals. And we thought we'd put a camera out there. But when we were going to put the cameras out, we found a box where somebody looked like they were dropping supplies. And from there, we were able to follow a path north to where the supplies were getting dropped off, possibly. And we found a... You described it as a metal disc, I believe.
It's the dome, yeah.
A dome that covered over some supplies, and we were able to lift some prints off that and found out that... his name? Ruperto?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ruperto was a... was the bad guy. Or he at least was involved in the stealing of things. Let me think what else. Oh, before that, I had, from the first game, had made a rather rash accusation about him, and there was some awkward moments when we went back to the facility where we still didn't have any proof, but we all thought he was guilty. So that's kind of where we stand on that. What else am I missing?
Your bad lead, you suspected the son of the shopkeeper.
Yeah, but we didn't find anything about that. He wasn't, because he was the only one that at the time we thought was connected to all the supplies that were all coming through his shop.
Yeah.
And did we find out anything more about the psycho squirrels?
I'm trying to remember what I told you.
Well, they were the... they didn't have any of the cybernetics, we know that.
No, they were not cybernetics.
They did bite somebody else, didn't they?
Before you got here, I think, they had.
Well, no, I thought they bit another person.
No, just the little girl.
Okay.
That Eric's character administered to and took care of and then handed her off to the town doctor when he got there. That was two game sessions back.
Okay. Well, it's been a while, so...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's what I can remember. You know, I had kids, so my memory's gone.
Yeah, so you set up the cameras to watch the drop-off point close to town, and then you found the other one, you set up a dose grenade trap.
Yes.
There. And you didn't have another camera for that, but you set up like a transmitter to let you know if the trap went off.
That's
and,
right.
And then you guys had parked about halfway between the two because they were about 10 kilometers apart. And you could just be in transmission range for the camera and the transmitter.
Then we used the we were using the air car to get around.
Yeah.
So we're in the
air car. Oh, no, you're using. Yes, you're in the air car now.
Because we had to fly north onto an area where there were no roads.
Right. And while your explorer could go there, it was easier to go in the air car and faster.
Yeah. That's where we stand, guys. And so we have a suspect. We have some good evidence against him. We have a bunch of traps set up. The question is how we want to handle that now. Anybody?
Yeah, and as far as it's going on to the sleep cycle, but the sun is up, so it's daytime.
Well, since they're not here, we could leave some people behind to watch things, then the people that are here on audio can head back and try to confront Roberto. See why the equipment's being stolen. No?
Yep, that sounds like a good idea. I'm all about confrontation. So I'll go convert Roberto then.
All right.
I can sit and keep watch.
Well, yeah, I am not a good confrontation person. So, well, what I was suggesting though is there's only three of us here sitting and splitting up the party, since half of the party has actually not showed up to the session. It might be we could split up the party but leave people who haven't shown up, or I don't know what people want to do. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Narratively, you know, we could do one thing and have the other characters do the other thing. That way we can all stay together and improve our odds of success.
Yeah, and Zulki is pretty good with a rifle, right?
Yeah, he's your military guy.
Well, I would... The question is, we've got two sites. We've got the one air car, but as soon as we head back to the place, we'll be out of range of both of the places. Radio-wise, for the radio transmitter for the trap. And the camera. So, do we want to just...
Well, the mine is in transmission range of the camera. It'd be the trap that you're not in range of. The mine and the village are easily within range of the camera transmission.
Well, it's only 5 kilometers. How about we just use the air car to hop back, and then Zulki and Angel head back in the air car. And then Mork and you're more intimidating, your character. I know there's much, well, any character is more intimidating than mine. So.
Come on, you're a big towering.
If you say so.
Yeah, he's a big towering piece of paper. Yeah, so. Yeah, I'm trying to see how to pronounce this. Shahoos? Shoes? Shoes on? Okay. Shoes on, and Jill should head back with me, and then you guys can... I guess I can stand in the background and just nod.
All right. Somebody, all right. Is that what you guys want to do?
I'm a little... confused. So you wanted to split up. You wanted to go with a couple of the characters who aren't here?
Yeah, I was thinking we'd all head back because we're kind of out there in an air car.
Yeah.
It would be really quick for them to drop us off and head back out to the point where they're being able to monitor both the trap and the drop off.
Oh, okay.
And then three of us head in and kind of confront Roberto.
That sounds like a great plan.
And keeping in mind, I only am armed with a knife. That's why I was thinking Shahuzon, who's probably got he's got a pistol.
Yes.
Should be the one that kind of is our muscle for this.
I... heartily agree and approve. Okay. Is I'm great at confrontation, not so good at resolution.
Well, yeah, we're all not the best personality type people. But that's what I was suggesting.
You might need some aggressive diplomacy.
Yeah. No,
that's for Mal, if I'm the muscle.
All right, well, then Cheka flies you guys back, drops you off at the mine site where your explorer is and where the staff is, and then they fly back out to go back out and monitor stuff, and they say, well, we'll call you out on the radio phone if anything comes up.
And make sure Eric's character stays with us.
Oh, you want Eric to stay with you?
Yeah, because he's got the sleuthing.
Okay.
I think he'd be good for a NPC or to provide us with some of the skills.
Okay. He's also the doctor.
Yes. See?
That might be important.
All right, then. And see if I can remember the name of the mine head, the one.
Oh,
her name is... Yolanda.
Yep.
There we go. Back, looking through the notes. So I guess we should go talk to Yolanda first.
Okay.
That makes good sense.
Going to the mine. Let's pull up the mine map. All right, so you get in there, and there's not a lot of places to be. She's actually here in the computer area, although it's getting, you know, it's kind of the evening, so people are getting ready to go to bed. Or it's the end of the work cycle, anyway.
Okay. Well, I guess, first of all, do we see Roberto anywhere?
No, he's not there. He was down in the mine, so he may be coming out. He may be already in his room.
Okay.
I am not seeing the mine.
Yeah. It should... Sorry, I brought it up on mine, but I forgot to drag the little player icon over to it. There we go.
Much better.
So you guys, she's in here. In room 21.
Well, have we talked with her about supplies that had gone missing on base there?
Not really, no.
That's probably the way to bring it up with her. Yeah, I'm just going to ask her. We have a few questions about the status of equipment on the facility. Is it a good time to talk?
Yeah, sure. What's up?
Have you noticed any equipment going missing? Things that aren't showing up on the inventory lately?
I mean, there have been over the last few months, but nothing in the last few days.
Okay, over the last few months, that fits with the timeline we're looking at here.
Yeah. I mean, not since Marcus was killed.
Okay, that makes sense, because we've been here watching things. Is it possible... No, never mind. We've been, in conducting our investigation, we've noticed that supplies have gone missing in town, and now you're saying supplies has gone missing in base, and that fits with what we found of north of the town in a small grove. We found a cache of equipment, or a place to store equipment, And geography-wise, Tom, the mm-hmm. second site with the dome,
yeah,
that was northeast?
Yes.
Okay. And northeast of this location, we also found a small cache or a location to drop equipment off. You know why any building would be out there in the northeast of this town?
No, there's nothing. That's part of the mine that's out there. That's completely news.
Okay. When we conducted our investigation, we were able to lift prints off of the dome, and they match Roberto's. So he is now our prime suspect in this case, as you doubtlessly knew from earlier.
Okay.
We think he has been pilfering equipment. We're not exactly sure why, however.
Yeah, I have no idea either.
So is it possible that you could call Roberto in here so that my associates, Shuzon and Jill here, may help me in interrogating him?
Yeah, sure, I'll give him a call. She turns the computer behind her and, you know, does some stuff and, well, he should be in his room, so she fires up the intercom and calls him. And, you know, pings him, Roberto, are you there? He's like, yeah, what do you need? She goes, could you come over to the computer lab for a minute? I need to talk to you. He's like, all right, I'll be there in a minute.
And Jill, you have your stun stick ready?
I do.
You know, not like out in the open, but like at least...
Yeah, she's I'm
shot gloves, not a stun stick.
I thought she had a stun stick.
She has a night stick.
Night
stick. Yeah, but night stick.
The shot gloves are fine.
And shot gloves, yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you know. You ready?
All right. Do you do anything else before he arrives?
I'm going to have my pistol out, but hidden.
Okay.
Under the table. That's a good idea.
Question, Tom. The shock gloves, are they obviously shock gloves, or...?
They are silver, so yeah, they kind of... You know, they're kind of obviously... It's obvious that you're wearing gloves. You know, in theory, you could maybe disguise them a little bit, but they are a shimmery silver conductive metal material. So it's like wearing shimmery silver gloves.
Right. Okay.
They're rubber.
I was just wondering how obvious they'd be.
Yeah. No, I mean, if you know that they're shot gloves, you can tell they're shot gloves. It's pretty obvious.
Okay.
But, you know, they don't make any noise. But if you're standing there with your hands, you know, folded behind your back, you know, they can't see them.
True enough.
So
yeah, I will stand with my hands behind my back.
All right. All right, so a few minutes pass by, and Roberto comes walking in, and, you know, he pops the door open, walks in, sees Yolanda, starts to say something, sees you guys, and immediately his face becomes guarded. He's like, what's up? You guys again.
Us again. We just have a few questions for you. You don't mind, do you?
No, what are your questions?
About your extracurricular activities.
You want to know about my computer class?
No, I'm talking more on the lines of shopping.
Shopping.
Well, that implies the transaction, a transaction with money. How often do you explore around the area?
I've been around a bit, but been pretty busy with my extra class and then just work. And then, of course, since Marcus died, no free time at all.
Do you ever explore anywhere to the north?
I'm sure I have. I've been here years. So I've kind of been all over the valley at some point.
Have you found anything interesting out there, say, in the northeast?
No, there's a pass into the next valley out that direction. Is there a point to this?
See, we were out there earlier today, and we did find something.
Okay. Is it 20 questions game? Am I supposed to guess what it is?
We found an equipment cache.
He looks at you kind of weird. Like, what?
You know, some place where you store equipment, keep it out of the rain, that kind of thing.
Okay. And?
Do you know anything about this?
No.
Do you know how your fingerprints would have been all over it?
What are you talking about? You can tell he's a little agitated, though.
The equipment that was in it. The equipment that we found in another stash location north of town, in the grove of trees, is all stolen.
You like the stuff missing here from the mine?
We didn't find the stuff missing here from the mine, but we have found equipment that went missing from town, and the only person's prints on it were yours.
So you're saying I stole it? I have no idea what you're talking about. What was missing? What's missing from town? I don't know.
Mechanical parts, machine parts, computer parts.
You can see him getting more and more agitated as you're talking.
Electronics. What would you build with that, do you think? What were you trying to build with that?
I wasn't building anything. I'm a miner. Trying to learn a little bit about computers.
You seem very agitated.
Yeah, you got four of you standing around me accusing me of stealing stuff. You'd be agitated too.
So how did your prints get on the things out there?
Telling you, I don't know.
You don't think that's a little bit odd?
Yeah, I think it's odd, but I don't even know what the stuff is you're talking about. I mean...
How did your prints get on the dome door for the cache? Your equipment. Regardless of the equipment. Why are only your prints out there?
He's looking around at you, each of you. And he bolts for the door.
Okay. I will run after him.
Okay. But you can, I mean, you're right there, so it's not like
give him a hand. Okay.
You can grab him. You can easily get him before he gets out the door, because the door is closed behind him, so he's got to wait for it half a second to open. So, you know, he like, turns to go to the door, but it's got to open.
Okay, perfect. I will grab him and activate the gloves.
Okay. Make a roll. 5,100.
Oh, he's doing the dance of the Don Cockroach.
Oh, yeah. You grab him, and you feel the energy surge through his body. You see him stiffen up. And I assume you're set for stun.
Yes.
Okay. It visibly shocks him and pauses him for a minute, but it doesn't knock him out. He made his stamina check. But
okay.
You've stopped him from leaving the room.
Can I try to jump on him? Because
you've got a hold of him again. So unless he's going to try to break free from you. But otherwise, you'll automatically zap him again next time. Of course, your strength isn't too high, but we'll see what happens. Anybody else want to do anything? Let's go ahead and roll initiative, since we've gone into combat at this point. Your group's
highest.
That's what I'm looking. 6, 6, 5, and 5. So your initial modifier for your group is 6. So let me roll for him.
Oh, okay.
That's okay, nice. You guys get initiative. Doesn't matter what you roll. This isn't 6.
All right, he's going first.
So that means Jill actually automatically zaps him as long as she holds on. She'll trigger her shot gloves again before he gets to try to break free. So let me roll for that. See if it knocks him out. Nope, not quite. He's managing to hold on there.
I question here about the shock gloves. Is it one continuous shock or just one shock?
It's basically, it delivers a jolt to him.
All right, well then, since I won't, if the jolt is delivered, I'm going to jump him.
Okay.
I mean, I might not be the best fighter in the world. I'm certainly going to have a better chance than if I try to use my knife.
All right, make a strength roll. All
right. I'm not looking here. What, just making sure. Strength, 40.
Yep. Unless you have an unarmed combat skill.
Okay.
But yeah, just make a strength roll. Hey, you made it.
That's the first roll I've made in a while.
All right, so Jill's got a hold of him. You've got a hold of him.
Okay, once he gets hold of him, I'm going to let go. So okay. I don't want to inadvertently shock him.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm trying to just smash into the ground.
Okay. Well, let me see. I'm going to give him a chance to resist that, but he's going to have a definite penalty because he just got zapped. Oh, man, he manages to stay upright.
Well, shoes on. It's up to you.
All right, Jaren, what are you going to do?
Well, I think it's fairly obvious what happens when I hit someone. Absolutely nothing.
you've got him restrained.
Okay.
He's not going to be able to break free because he was trying to break free of Jill, and then you grabbed him, and he managed to stay upright, but he's not going to be able to break free this round, so you'll have a hold of him at the beginning of the next round.
All right. Where's Jaren?
I don't know. It's up to Jaren.
What would have been the modifier if I had given him a kick?
You have a plus 20 when he's, since he was restrained.
I should have done that. But I'm just trying to prevent him from moving. Oh. That's a goal. No, he's playing the...
those are D10s.
D10s, yeah.
So, Jaren, what are you trying to do?
I unmuted. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I'm just gonna punch him in the face.
All right, roll a D100.
Always a good. That's a classic right there.
This is basically an automatic hit unless you roll a 96 to 100.
Hey, thanks for saying that.
Yeah.
All right. Hey,
there we go.
You deck him. You didn't roll doubles, so you didn't knock him out. But roll a D10 and add your punching score. Alright, so he took 9 points of damage. So that's something I do. Normally it's just your punching score when you hit, but if he's restrained, you get a D10 plus your punching score. I guess that's a house rule of mine. So he took 9 points. Alright, next round. He can't do anything. You guys have piled on him. He was trying to break free. That was all he could do, and he got a second person grappling him. So somebody roll a d10 for initiative.
I'm too slow. Oh, that's you. Okay.
All right, he's going to try to break free.
I forgot. I'm sorry. I won't roll anymore.
He breaks free and you take 3 points of damage. He critically escaped. All right. He is going to escape out the door this round unless somebody does something to stop him.
There's nothing around that I've got on me that I can throw at him. Is there anything like loose in the
Not room really.
I can just toss at him?
Nope. Well, you could try tossing one of the chairs. There's 6 chairs in the room.
Hell, I'll try tossing a chair at him.
Okay. Let's see. That's going to be...
What's my modifier?
It'd be a thrown weapons attack. So I'm not going to give a negative modifier, so you have a 22% chance. Just
there you go.
Almost. So you throw the door. It crashes at the door frame, and he ducks it.
I am going to chase him.
So, okay. All right. Go ahead and roll. You can lunge after him and try to make an attack. So you've got a 40. Actually, shock gloves might give you a bonus. That is with a bonus, yeah. So, okay. Okay, you just miss him. Go ahead, Jaren. You have an unarmed combat skill, so you actually have a 43% chance to hit him.
You got a 76.
Oh, you missed too. So he ducks out the door. And he goes to the right. So over here, I am going to go ahead and pull. Let's see. We've got Eric's character there.
Oh, you know, and we've been forgetting about Eric. Yeah.
We've got Jaren, and we've got Rennie, and we've got Jill.
And these are...
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't set this grid up for combat.
2 meter squares?
The squares on this are 1 meter.
1 meter, okay.
So let me pull up a character for him. Let's see what I've got here handy. Here, we'll use this guy right here. And he is out the door and right there. So those are your characters. Actually, if you click on them, you should get your stamina points to show up. So
nope.
Yeah, they came up blank. That's strange. I know I had them all set up on the other map. But anyways, that's not a big deal. So that's where he went. Given the scale here, if you just put the upper left corner of your character little icon there in the square you want to be in, let's do it that way. So I guess you should just be able to click on them. Oh, no, it's not going to let me do that. All right, well, we'll just approximate as to where we're at. So you should just be able to click on them and move them around. Can you guys not access them?
No.
All right, let's see. They're on the token layer.
Kind of funny. I like playing science fiction games more than I like playing fantasy games, but I hate technology.
Ah, here we go. Hold on. Controlled by Doug. Okay, Doug, you should be able to do yours now.
Yep.
I just have to go in and change them on this map. This one was one of the Drala sites. I think this one was Eric, so I'm not going to worry about that one. Here, I'll just set anyone. Okay. And
which Drala site am I?
I think you're C. That's the one I'm setting to you anyways.
It works.
And then Rennie. I was hoping since I had set them up on the other one, it would and I was just copying them in, it would let you control them directly. But obviously, I've got to set it up there. All right, there you go. Shane, you should be able to control the Yuzurian now.
There I am.
There you go. And I'm going to do, let's see, I think I can really quick turn off snap to grid. Yeah, I'm just going to turn the grid off. So you should be able to move them around anywhere now. Yeah. So yeah, just put the corner where the letter is in the square you want to be in. That's how we'll keep track of it. So, all right. So, next round. Somebody roll for initiative for us.
Not me.
I'm willing.
Okay. Do you roll that 9? Oh, no. Right there. 7. Okay, you guys get initiative. His initiative modifier is only 5. So, he's got to outroll you by 2 to get the initiative. So you guys get to, he moves first, and he, part of his movement is getting the door open, and he busts through into the other room, and in there, oops, hold on just a second, you guys can go ahead and make your moves.
How many squares do I have?
Each square is a meter, so you can move. Walking, you move 10. Over here on the treadmill, there is a human, one of the other miners. It's oh wait, we don't have another. Yeah, we don't have another human male. Hold on.
Maybe Yolanda.
Yeah. Not, she's not going to get involved in this. So we have our, let's do our Rusk. Is on the Rusk treadmill. There. This is your geologist. And Talnor, this is the
control room, right?
This is just the gym.
No. Where I am at right now.
Yes, you're in the control room. So, two of the other mine crew are in that room that he runs into. Talnor, the roboticist, is there working out on the mat, and Rotalka, the geologist, is on the treadmill there.
Okay. For my action, I'm going to tell Yolanda, help me lock down the facility. I'm going to head right to one of the computers and see if I could just start shutting down locks, like specifically to the hangar.
Okay. So she starts, she's already logged in, so she can pull up that.
Well, that's my action. I'm going to help her with that.
You're going to help her with that. All right. What do you want Eric to do?
Get him. She's got grenades, right? Does he have a dose grenade?
I wouldn't be surprised. Yes, he does actually. All right, he'll throw that. Okay.
Anybody else?
I'm going to See, I've got enough movement that I can get out through the door, right?
Yes, you can move. Let's see, walking speed for Yzerian is 5, so you can move 5 walking and 20 running. So 1, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So I'm moving Eric. There's Eric's movement. He runs, chasing him down, and then he's going to toss the grenade at him. 1, 2, 3. He stays just out of the range of the effect.
There's some skilled operators.
Oh, Eric totally misses. Let's see where it ends up. So it bounces over to here. Poof, and goes off.
Well, it's not so bad. He's got to run through it.
Yeah, well, it only lasts for a round. It's a really quick
dispersal.
So, all right, he missed.
So who's on? Take him down.
And Jill, are you following him?
I sure am. So my running, walking speed is 10. So right. What would my running speed be?
It's up to 30 for a human.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, no, you can really turn on the speed. Then the Vrusks are 15 and 35, and Yzerians are the same as humans, 10 and 30. So
I'm the slow one.
Yeah, the Drallocytes are the slow ones. Slow and steady with lots of endurance.
So I will attempt to catch up to him and shock him again.
Okay. Go ahead and roll your attack. Oh, you got him. And he passes out. He freezes up.
Time to invest in some shock boots next. That's for making me run, kick.
All right. So he drops at your feet. And, of course, Retalka and Talnor are like, what's going on? And they come walking over. Eric walks up to him, bends down to check him, and says he's going to be out for a while. You got him good with that one. He'll probably be out for 7 or 8 minutes.
Let's get him restrained.
Yes. Great idea.
All right, what do you want to do to restrain him?
We have to have some kind of... Does anybody have restraints? I don't have restraints.
Don't have restraints.
There's got to be some kind of cord around here. I'll ask Yolanda, or one of the mayors.
You can easily find some rope, or at worst, you can go get some ion bonding tape from the lab and duct tape them up.
All right, let's do that. I love that one.
Yeah, so...
And then... maybe we should search his room a lot more thoroughly now.
Agreed.
So, if you want to do some questioning when he wakes up, I'll search his room.
Okay.
You've got the shock gloves, and don't be afraid to scare him.
Oh, I'm sure I can persuade him.
Yeah, I'll go with Eric's character, since he's got the sleuthing, and you and Shahuzan stay here and beat some plot out of him.
Alright. Which one do you first? The room or the interrogation? Well, you got a few minutes. Let's do the room first. You head over to his room, and you open it up, and it looks like he was his bed's ruffled and unmade. Maybe he was even in bed when she called him, and he got up, got dressed, and came inside you guys. So it's kind of, you know, kind of messy. He had gone, looks like he had gone to bed for the night. His study books are closed on his desk. They're not open. That's the general appearance of the room when you walk in.
Well, I'm gonna have to toss the mattress and all, and just check in through things. You know, desks, look under to see if I can find anything hidden or signs of something being moved.
Okay.
And so maybe Eric's character should do it since he's the sleuth.
Yeah. So you start taking apart his room, and the cabinetry is pretty well bolted down. You don't seem to be able to get into anything. You don't really find anything. You pull out all the drawers in the desk, you do find a small stash of cash behind one of the drawers, couple hundred credits worth in bills and local currency, Terrain Star currency or Pale currency, and but nothing particular beyond what you've already found. So is there anything specific you're looking for?
I'm looking for maps. Any kind of maps. I know it's in geology and all the odd maps, whatever it is to mine, but something dealing with that area to the north.
You don't like find you don't find anything like that in his room. If he was going there, he obviously knew where it was, and there's nothing actually written down or marked anywhere.
Does he have books in there, or are they all computer?
It's all on the computer.
But nothing paper or anything to do.
No, not really. I mean, there's his books for his computer stuff. He's got a physical book for that. And
any kind of a radio or a transmitter?
No, not that you can
communication
find.
Communication device?
Nope. So you go through his room. You don't really find anything other than the little bit of money that was stashed away. As far as you can tell, whatever he was doing, whatever communications he had, he wasn't keeping any records in his room.
Okay.
Well, and you go through the place pretty thoroughly.
Right, well, I guess we'll head back and when we taped his hands together, did we tape the Chronicom?
It's up to you.
I'd like to look at the Chronicom.
Okay, so you take his Chronicom off. We assume you take that off before you taped him up. Okay. Probably would have anyways, just make it easier to bind him. All right, so you come back in, and Jill's in the process of interrogating him, along with Eric's character, Domelton. So what do you – he's woken up. At this point, he's kind of groggy, and he's struggling. He's like, "Let me go."
Of course. Once I feel satisfied that you've answered our questions to the best of your ability and truthfully,
barrel of my pistol is against his temple.
Okay. It's a gyrojet pistol or a laser? Which one do you have?
Pistol.
What kind of pistol? Let's see. That's not you. This is you. Gyrojet pistol. Okay. All right. He looks sideways at it as he's talking, but
I since we started questioning you, you've been resistant, and I don't like your attitude, if we're being honest with each other. Now, without attitude, and with complete candor, I want to know why your fingerprints
were found on those tools.
Fine, you want to know? Because I took them. I put the stuff up there. I know what you're talking about. You're talking about that dome up there.
And why
was
my
drop-off point?
Okay, and that's very good. We're making excellent progress. So, what was the drop-off point for? Who was picking them up?
My contact. I'm not going to tell you guys anything. You guys are all here. This place is going to burn anyways. It doesn't matter.
Well, that might be. But the difference is you. Do you want to be in here all tied up when the place does burn? Or would you rather be somewhere else sipping drinks with little umbrellas in them on a beach?
You're going to let me go at this point.
Yeah. I could be convinced.
Yeah, right.
Wow. One way or the other, I will get...
Go ahead.
Sorry, shoot. Let me shoot.
In a minute. I hate to play a stereotype like good cop, bad cop. But he really does like to kill people. It's a nasty habit. I've been trying to break him of it for years. But he just loves killing so.
Free hand. I'm going to slap my forehead, Three Stooges style, and go, whoop, 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 whoop.
He looks over at you.
Should I?
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, should I make a perception roll? Persuasion roll?
Yeah, go ahead and make a roll. All right.
Wow.
So he takes it pretty seriously. He was like, look, they're coming back. I'm not going to be on the losing side this time. I was helping them out. There's some survivors here from the first war. And they made a good case, and I agreed with them, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Whoa. They are coming back from the first war? I'm not talking about space now.
And he passes out.
Eric, check him out. Someone needs to check this guy out quickly.
Oh, Eric does a critical success. So
two teeth, whatever. Yes.
No, it's not. There's no physical. He's still unconscious, but there's no physical. Other than him being unconscious now, there's nothing physical. He didn't like take poison or anything like that. But he seems to be completely comatose. He just is slumped over in his chair. Eric's like, I don't know. I mean, it's got to be psychological, probably hypnosis. I mean, it sounded like he was talking about Sathar, like you said, or Sathar, like you said. And so, you know, it's rumored they have mind control powers of some sort, or hypnosis or something. Maybe that's what it is, but he's out. There's nothing physical. I can try to stim dose him, but we'll see. We can see if that works.
Is there some kind of medical facility out here we could scan him?
You've got a med bay right here in the on the map. This right here is a medical facility right there. 13, 14, and 15. 15 is actually an operation medical room that you can do surgery in with a bonus. So.
Oh, excellent. Let's bring him in there. Tie him up to the surgery table.
Okay.
When he comes to, if that doesn't scare him, intimidate him to give us the information. I don't think anything will.
All right.
Is there a...
Go ahead.
A gurney or a rolling table we can put him on?
Not really. You just have to pick him up and carry him.
Well, I'll pick him up. Well, let's pick him up by his feet and just drag his head.
All right. Actually, as you start to pick him up, Talnor, who's been listening, he comes and helps and grabs his head and carries him in. You guys carry him in. And he's just kind of standing in the background watching, but you can see like a scowl on his face, and he's pretty upset.
But he's from the first Sathar War. He fought in it.
Yes, he was on Pale during the invasion.
Guys, we need to. Yeah, we need to save this guy. We need to question this guy. Two things have to happen. We need to contact Angel, or what's the Angel character's name?
Yeah.
Because I can't see him up here. We need to contact our guys in the field and give them the what's up if this is Sathar. And we need to call in to HQ and let some people know that something's going on big here.
Okay, so you get him tied up onto the surgical table, or restraint. Anyways, you don't even have to tie him up. There's restraints built into it. Because they sometimes have to, help hold people down while they work on them. So you restrain him, and then you want Eric to try to wake him up?
Yes, please.
Okay. So, he gives him a shot of a stim dose, and nothing seems to happen. The body kind of jerks a little bit, and the monitors, I assume he hooks up the medical monitors and everything, and his heart rate picks up, and but he doesn't come conscious.
What kind of scans can you run on him here to determine what's wrong with him?
You've got it's a full medical facility, so let's see what happens. Figures. So he hooks him up. He does some brain scans. He does everything he can think of. He goes, I don't know. His body is perfectly functional, but it's like his mind's not connected. I don't know. This is out of my range. We really need a psychosocial psychiatrist. Not psychiatrist. Yeah, psychiatrist. A neurosurgeon. That's what we really need. That's not what I do. maybe back. I mean, he's perfectly healthy. His body is alive, but he's not responding, so maybe they could do something back at Point True, but there's nothing I can do here.
How long would it take to get to Point True from with an
aircraft? With the air car, it's an 8-hour drive, but with the air car, it's just an hour and a half, 2 hours flying. Maybe actually, it's probably only an hour flying.
Well,
you can crank out the speed on the air cars.
Maybe we should think about doing that, guys.
All right, so
without a doubt.
So while that was going on, Shane was looking through the guy's Coronacom, and there was nothing there that you could see. Everything looked local to the mine or to the village.
Is there a GPS on the Chronicom?
What?
GPS on the Chronicom.
Not really.
I keep remembering this is 1980s
future. Yeah, this is 1980s tech. 1980s future division tech. So it's a holographic phone. It's holographic FaceTime plus calculator watch.
Nothing else on there.
No, not because it only goes back. It has contact information, but there's nothing on there that. I mean, there's names. They might be friends. They might be family. You have no idea. There's the miners and some of the people in town he has contact information on, so he can just, connect to them directly. There are names there that you don't recognize. They're not any of the villagers. They're not any of the mine people, but they could be family. They could be friends back in Point True. There's a couple dozen names that, you could eventually try to run down if you wanted to. But there's no activity beyond stuff in the history that's stored in the device, beyond communication with people in the mine or in the village.
Can I transmit the contact information quickly to local authorities in Point True? See if they can do a rundown on them? Company rundown, or see if we can identify, if we can narrow down the list.
All right. Yeah, you can try to do that. So what do you guys want to do while he's making that connection? I assume you're going to send him to Streel headquarters and then have them.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to let them know about the situation with the sector. I think somebody needs to go out and get some heavier equipment, get some more cameras, and head out to the point where we have our, field station, whatever.
Okay.
At least contact them and say, hey, guys, this is the situation. And maybe we also need to think about transporting this guy as quick as possible to Point True. And maybe I could transmit the information, head with this guy, and maybe Dahl Motan. Head with him to Point True. It's only about an hour away. We drop this guy off, see what information we can get, and head back immediately. So we'll be gone for maybe two and a half hours. Get back here. You guys can head out and figure out what you guys want to do, but I'll check on that. He's got sleuthing. He can maybe help me look through those names. But, Saith are involved here. I think we need to be a little more careful.
Okay, so you call into headquarters to give them the report.
Yeah.
And they say, okay, you guys stay there. We'll send someone to pick him up.
Okay.
You've got him restrained. Just keep him there. Keep an eye on him. We'll dispatch an air car out to get him, and we'll bring him back into headquarters and see what we can find out. We're also notifying Starlaw to let them know that there's a potential Sathar involvement here. So don't be surprised if a Starlaw agent shows up in the next hour or two to find out what's going on. In the meantime, keep an eye on that, what you've found. Be careful and let us know if anything develops.
Will do.
All right, so you do that. I assume you tell the rest of your team that's out there what you discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, it's been quiet out here. Nothing's been going on so far. You guys got to come out and join us. You want us to come back? What do you want to do?
I think we need to get cameras out on the Silver Dome because we didn't have enough cameras to put out there. And then I think it's probably safer for people to come back.
Okay.
And unless we Trying to think, Zolki's character.
He's well,
scout.
He did say that the place was going to burn.
Not sure if he's meaning that literally or.
True.
I'm just. We're coming upon the dark. Coming up in a few hours.
No, actually, you're not. You've got many. It's you're only about 10 hours into the 23 hours of light, so you've got light for a while.
Maybe we need to get out there, set up the cameras, and then while we've got the light, we got to do as much searching as we can for anything tracks. I mean, if they're coming in, they're coming in somehow to get the equipment.
So I assume you've requested some cameras to be delivered when they come to pick this guy up.
Yes.
All right, so they'll bring you out.
I'm wondering if they had them in the facility here.
You could probably... They don't have any extras, no.
Okay, then we'll radio ahead.
Happens to be one of the things that's gone missing. Alright, so as part of your radio communication, so it'll be about an hour before the cameras arrive. Do you want to do anything while you're waiting?
I'll stay here and wait if those guys want to go out there and reinforce. I mean, there's several air cars. They could get out there with another air car.
Yeah. Well, there's one more air car anyway. So, all right, so you're going to stay behind. Talnor basically just sets up camp in the sick bay, and he's just watching this guy. He says, I'm not going to let him go anywhere.
Can we, is it possible also to program the robots to, while they're doing their duties, to maybe do a little searching down in the tunnels to see if anything... odds going on?
You could... We'll see. The transport robots... The mining robots are... Could potentially do that, but they're busy drilling. The cargo carrying robots, you could have them go longer routes, but they're not, like, super intelligent. They're just... They have sensors for finding their way through the tunnels. They don't really have they really don't have, the robots really aren't equipped to do that. The ones that they have here, that's not what they're designed
for.
What
I'm thinking of is send us some of them on a longer route through the oldest tunnel sections that aren't used anymore.
Okay.
To see if any left their equipment wise, or I mean, I know it'll take hours and it's not something, it's their priority, but while everyone's doing that, I thought maybe it'd be a good way to do that.
Okay. Yeah. Talnor says, yeah, that could be done. We could bring, I mean, we have a couple that are offline for maintenance. They're just, you know, it's their off rotation, so they're not constantly in use. We could actually dedicate those ones. There's nothing wrong with them. They're just kind of sitting idle, just as general maintenance. We could turn those loose on that task if you wanted to.
Okay. So what are you guys going to do?
Well, I really don't know. I'm feeling very unsure of what's going on right now, because it's I'm worried about what he said about the it all coming to flames, and it occurred to me that maybe he wasn't just talking about the mining facility, maybe he was talking about the whole town.
Mm.
And then I started thinking about the squirrels.
Well, that's what I was thinking, whether they're trying to cyber the squirrels up again.
The squirrels aren't designed to be cybered. It's the chicken things.
The chicken, sorry. Not the cyber
the cyber nuts. The nooks.
Yeah. Fed nuts, yeah. Well...
So I can't help but think that maybe we should endeavor to always travel together.
Yep.
So whatever we decide, I think we should do it as a group.
Quick question.
Uh-huh.
We have a large weapon mounted on the...
Yeah, you have a machine gun.
How long would that take to put that on an air car?
The air cars really aren't designed for it. You could probably do it in about 20 minutes or so. It wouldn't take that long. You just have to take it into the shop and mount up a mount for it. The problem is it's not designed. I mean, if you wanted to be able like remotely controlled, like it's a machine gun on a fighter jet, that's going to take time. The air car really isn't designed with it. With the Explorer, it just sits on a tripod, and the guy sits out the hatch at the top and operates it. The air car is not...
How long would it take to get the Explorer out there, out towards the...
Oh, out to where the... The dome is?
Yeah.
15 minutes. It's only 10 kilometers. It's only 6 miles away. So, and it's low rolling hills, and it's an off-road vehicle. You just have to be careful not to hit a ditch. You can probably drive 30, 40 miles an hour to get out there if you wanted to.
That might be the way to do it, guys. I don't know what you think about that, about bringing some weaponry out there. Keep an eye on it.
I think that would be prudent.
Better to have it than not to have it.
Camouflage the Explorer somehow. I don't know how we get to camouflage it, but kind of set that up and have... We've got the air car on standby to go to either location, and then we have the Explorer with the machine gun covering, and then we just kind of wait and see. And see what information comes back from Streel headquarters and... either in the form of that list of people, or if they can get him to talk, Roberto to talk. That's all I've got. I can't think of anything else to do. Try to catch these guys or figure out the situation.
All right. So all right. No, go ahead.
No, let's endeavor to do that then.
So you want to drive out the Explorer out to where the others are?
After they pick up the guy, yeah.
After they pick up the guy, okay.
And then, I guess, start trying to camouflage the thing, and then if we can get that time in fashion, look around to see if we can find tracks or anything. I am a scout.
Yep. Okay, so you it's about half hour, 45 minutes later, the team from Streel is supposed to be showing up sometime in the next few minutes, or in the next 15 minutes or so. And you hear a siren go off. And it's off in the distance, like it's coming from the village. And, I mean, it's muffled because you're inside the dome, inside the mine building. But it's loud. And so you're hearing it even through the walls of the building. And Townlor, are you still in the room with Roberto?
Yeah, I guess so, since I'm not going to have to move the equipment from the air, explore the air cars.
Okay. you hear him perk up. He goes, that's not good. That's their, like, danger siren, like, air raid siren.
Maybe we just head on to the Explorer and head into town with someone up in the gun who actually knows how to shoot it.
and about then your chronocoms pop to life and you hear and it's Zulki and Checheka. They're like, what's that sound? You guys hear that? We're hearing something. It's really faint out here, but it sounds like it's coming from your direction or the village. What's going on?
Coming from the village, we don't know. Stay where you are. We don't want to lose. This could be a distraction, a diversion. We're going to head into town with your car. Hope you don't mind. Or the Explorer. Hope you don't mind.
Checker says, don't wreck it.
That's why they're driving it, not me.
All right. So, where are, I guess, Joe and Jaren, your character? You never remember his name. Shoes on. Where are you guys at? When this all starts?
Well, presumably I was with you. Because
You could all be in the vehicle there if you wanted to. That's fine. I just want to know where everybody is. How about you, Jared?
Did you read his message here?
Oh, yeah. I just see it. Okay.
I think he's trying to correct the problem.
Yeah. All right. All right. Well, let's see. All right. Just as you get done talking with the rest of your team, Yolanda comes in. She goes, I just heard from the village. There's some strange creature that they've never seen before in this area. There's actually four of them. They got picked up on some of the farmers' cameras, and they're like racing incredibly fast towards the towards where the village is. And that's what set off their siren.
We gotta get out of here, guys.
Yeah. I'd recommend perhaps hiding in the mines.
No, I think we gotta go save the villagers.
Well, I'm talking about the mining facility people, Yolanda and her workers.
Well, they've got a fence around this complex, right?
Yeah, it's fenced.
Yeah, but a fence isn't gonna help them if they're being bombarded.
Just one question. Is the fence electrified?
Yes.
That might help a little.
It's about 3 meters tall, too. It's about 10 feet tall.
Well, that's an option for them, but I think we need to get out of here.
Agreed.
Who wants to be... I'll drive, maybe. I can't do anything. Who wants to be up in the gun?
I will, if nobody else wants to.
It's you or Shahuzan.
Yeah, none of you have a. No, she doesn't have a description yet. She just came to let you know that they were reporting. They didn't. It's all they said was it was kind of silvery or light colored gray or something like that. And there are four of them, and they're moving fast.
All right, let's. Jill's up in the gun. I'm gonna drive off and. Okay. Just Shahuzan, get your gun ready, and a riding shotgun.
Okay.
And I'm just gonna roll out as quick as we can and tell him to close the fence behind us.
Hey, Jaren, were you gonna say something? You cut in for half a second there. Okay. All right, so you jump in the Explorer and you start heading towards the village. It'll take you a few minutes to get there.
You just keep an eye out, guys. All right.
So as you're driving, your chronocom's come to life, and it's kind of just a general communication band, like an emergency broadcast system type thing. And it's coming from the village, and he says, they're almost to the village. They look like quick deaths, but they're not as big as what we, you know, the ones from the old times. This crazy. There's four of them. Help! And, you guys are about a minute away at that point.
Well.
And I am going to switch us over to the village map.
We're working better, Jared?
Okay, so this is the village. Each square on this map is 5 meters. Everybody's characters are there. You guys are coming in from the mine. I guess we've got everybody's characters are there and labeled. We'll move them on as we need to.
So we're coming in from the mine.
You're coming in along the To the Mine Road. Yeah, you're going to come in from the left side of the map, or the right side of the map. And I'm just going to put your Explorer down there for now, because you're all in the Explorer. And let me make that so you make sure you guys can control that thing. Controlled by all players. Okay, so you guys can move the Explorer, you can move your characters individually, and I'll move Eric's wherever you tell me to move them to, and the other two aren't there. Now, as you get to the city, as you get to the village, where do you want to drive? And then I'll tell you what you see.
They said, what direction is they coming from? From the north?
They're coming from the northeast.
I guess I'm going to drive to the oval up here, the circle.
Okay. All right, so you drive. Go ahead and move the Explorer to where you want to be at.
You have to, And obviously that's not facing, but
yeah,
Maybe drive out to here.
You can grab it and rotate it.
Oh, you can. Okay.
Yeah, the one that's sticking up above the top.
Gotcha.
Let you rotate it. So, okay, so you drive up there, and there are actually several people. I'm going to go ahead and drop some people on the. They're out here, in between the in the houses, around the houses. For some reason, I only have one guy, and I have two girls. And they're just kind of watching. They're some of the villagers, watching to the north and to the northeast. So go ahead. You guys can go ahead. You get out. He goes, whatever it is, they're coming. We can see them on the computer, on the monitors. They're coming in from the north.
Nobody has binoculars on, do they? Or has binoculars?
Some of them do, goggles. Yeah. And you, oh, you mean you guys? Some of the villagers do.
Because we couldn't afford it. are the villagers armed?
Yes.
Well, that's good to know.
They have, some of them have some automatic rifles and some laser rifles, and there's even a Jar Jar rifle there. But they're mostly machine guns, automatic rifles.
Well, I'm just going to open up the door and lean out and be like, what's going on? How can we help?
Well, actually, with that machine gun you got there on top of that Explorer, where your park's probably the best. They're coming in straight from the north. Just get ready.
All right, well, and nothing I can do. I've got a knife.
You want to fan out with the rest of us.
I'm just going to stay on the wheel in case you guys need me to move and you guys can handle the shooting.
Okay. All right, off in the distance. You see four, and once they get close, you recognize them. They are quick deaths.
Sorry, recognize what?
The creatures, they're quick deaths. I'm putting them on the board right now.
Okay.
But are they smaller than?
They are smaller than the typical size. So, you've seen specimens from the first Sathar War. The normal ones are about 3-4 meters long. These ones are only a couple meters long. They look fully grown. They don't look, not that you've ever seen a juvenile quick death, but, you know, based on other creatures, especially you, Rainy, who with your survival and outdoorsman stuff, they have the look to them that they are a full-grown specimen of whatever they are. They don't look like they're juvenile in any sort. And you also know that quick death normally travel in one or two, you know, or a mated pair. This is a pack of four of them.
Well, luckily we've got machine guns instead of lasers.
You estimate they're running, they're moving at about 60 to 80 meters a turn, and they look like they could go faster. So,
all we can do is shoot at them, guys.
So, Jill, where are you going to be?
Well,
how did they get a human girl over there? That's weird.
Oh, yeah, that was. I moved her. That.
Oh, because I have one here with your name on it.
Oh, I didn't see her.
She's off to the side over there.
Here we go. Thank you.
So I will put her there, and move the other one. And these ones are connected to your stamina. So that number in there, in the green circle. Why isn't it really showing up? There it goes. That is your stamina.
So, well, let's see. Let's move Eric's character over since he's here.
Tom, what are these squares?
The squares are 5 meters. So the Drowsites can move 1 walking, 4 running. Humans can move 2 and 6. And the Vrusk, we don't have a Vrusk here. He can move 3 and 7. So these are 5-meter squares. So you can put as many people as you want into one of them. But that's what they are. So let's go ahead and roll for initiative.
Not me.
I'll do it.
See? You got 4 better than I would. 5 better than I would.
All right. Well, you guys get initiative. No, actually, I take that back. They do. So you guys get to move first. You tied, but they have a higher initiative modifier.
Okay, so do they... are we sticking to the plan? Am I still manning the guns, or...?
Yeah, we'll assume you're manning the gun.
Okay.
And at that range...
You put your person on the Explorer.
Yeah, you can drop your person right on the Explorer if you want. Grab my... trusty rulebook, so I have all the information on ranges and stuff. Too far. All right. So, what do you want to do? Here's what I wanted.
I will open fire.
Okay,
as soon as they're in range, I mean.
Well, they're in range of your machine gun.
Yeah, then I will.
I'm just checking what the exact range is. They are at medium range, so it's minus 20 right now. But you're firing a burst, so you get a plus 20. So it's your whatever your skill is, and which would be half your deck, so 30. You miss. Okay, so you fire with the machine gun. Barks out over the heads of everyone. And they're spread out enough that you can only shoot at one of them. But you miss, probably because they're moving so quickly. They emerge from the foliage. The villagers stay where they're at. They're kind of in, like, they're behind things and kind of in a defensive position. And they're going to open fire as well. But actually, we're supposed to do movement first. So, is anybody moving?
I'm not moving. I'm in the driver's seat.
Okay.
Is anybody else moving? Nope, someone moved.
That would be Jaren's character. All right.
I assume we're not leaving the Explorer, how's that going to work? Does this have a roll-down window that they can shoot out of?
Yes.
Okay.
If they wanted to, you could stay in the Explorer and just shoot out of it.
Well, let them shoot out, and I'll continue to be behind the wheel with my trusty knife.
Yeah, Eric's character is hanging out with the Explorer. He's just got 2 frag grenades and an incendiary grenade. So he doesn't have much in the way of weapons at all.
Sorry, what was that?
Eric's character only has 2 frag grenades and an incendiary grenade. And then lots of explosives. So he's going to stay here with the Explorer.
Gotcha. And Jill's up in the turret.
And Jill's up managing the turret. Okay, the quick deaths move.
Ooh.
All right, that's where they move to. Now they get to attack. Let's see.
Fucking unnamed characters. It's going to be brutal. Oh, that's good. One miss.
Oops. Okay, so this one over here misses. The other three hit. So that one first.
They only get one attack?
This time around. Ouch. He's hating life. I'm going to zoom in a little bit on my map. Alright. So. Alright, and the next one. Okay.
This is not looking good for the native.
Okay. All right. Now it's your attack. So actually, go ahead and re-roll that. Actually, we'll say this is a new round. That first round you shot while they were running in. So you can actually shoot at. You can't shoot at this one, but you can shoot at the other three with the machine gun. So pick which one you want to shoot at. And then, Jaren, what are you going to do?
I'm going to shoot.
Okay. Fire will.
Hey, Tom?
Yeah?
Is it just to signify that the 10 is the highest and the 1 is the lowest, that the 10s and 1s and those things are appearing as green and blue?
Yes.
Green and red?
Okay. Probably, yeah. This doesn't
I was
mean
wondering
be
if you had
that.
Some special meaning for him.
Nope, I did not do that. Roll 20 did that. Okay. It just minimum and maximum of the roll die is what that is representing.
Okay.
Alright, so, Jaren, go ahead and roll.
Is that a D100?
Yes,
yep.
D100. And you have a 48 to hit. 43 to hit. Oh yeah, nice. And you can fire you have a gyro jet pistol, right? You can make up to 2 shots a round. I'm sorry, you can make up to 3 shots a round.
It's a 2 die 10. Okay.
Yep. Ooh, oh, nice. Man.
Ooh, shakalaya.
Do you want to shoot more than once?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead and roll. That one misses. That one hits. And for another 13 points. Alright. Alright. Definitely, I mean, they do. The rockets bore into that thing and just blast it. So they look pretty effective. When you hit. All right, Jill.
Okay, I'll try to finish the job and shoot that same one.
Okay. Ooh. Oh, nice. That's 10d10.
Wow.
This is what roll d20 is nice, because just slash r 10d10 and it'll do it.
Yeah.
I miss the tactile.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh my gosh. Now, the machine gun bullets, they look like they're hitting it and they're doing damage, but you think they could probably be more effective. They seem to have some sort of natural armor that's protecting them, that the bullets aren't quite as effective as the little rockets.
Still.
Yeah. It is. That one is hurting. Okay, so the villagers. Let me roll them really quick.
right, that's a hit. Okay, that was over on this guy. Got hit for a little bit of damage. that missed. Ooh, that guy hit. So this is this person, and she's got a laser gun, and she hits.
And we'll see if the lasers are effective. There.
Yeah. Okay, she hits it. It looks like the lasers are kind of glad, because it is kind of a silvery, slimy skin, and the laser does burn it, but not as much as you would expect. So, but that thing is hating life because she damaged it too. All right, next one. Another hit.
Curiosity. Angel's gonna hate me, but what kind of bumper do we have on this thing?
It's the standard one. Okay, so.
Well, I'm just thinking maybe at some point it might come in handy.
All right. So that one got hit by a machine gun burst from an auto rifle. It takes some damage, but not a lot. This is the third one over here. This guy. And then now for this, the attacks here.
So this program, we can't see the damage, but it's keeping it all figured out for you?
Oh, no, I'm just doing it on paper.
Okay.
Okay, so this guy over here hit twice with a Jarajet. So I'm just going to roll them all together. His was a rifle, though. So that's 3d10. I'm just going to roll them together, so 6d10. It's two hits. All right. All right, well, none of them were taken out. This one that you guys focused on looks really beat up. The other ones have all taken a little bit of damage, but they're all still in the fight, as are all of our people. So, it's time for another initiative roll. Next round.
Somebody else want to do it, or do you want me to do it?
Yeah, you guys, not me.
But we got a good chance this time. That was a bad roll for the quick deaths.
Oh, that's for you. Okay.
Yeah, that's mine.
Okay. Someone not me do it. There we go.
Oh, oops.
They still had a feeling. All right. All right. So the one thing you did notice is that the people that got hit last time, they got hit with the tentacle things on the side of it, and they're like grappled, and it's pulling them in towards its mouth. And that is, let's see, we hit. It was this person, come on, there we go, and this person. Which you guys can't actually see the fight over here because it's obscured behind this house. Alright, so does anybody want to move? Because you guys move first and then the quick deaths move.
I'm staying where I am unless someone tells me I've got to move to get him a better shot.
And I've got I think I'm still good where I am.
Okay.
So, good.
I've got the window rolled up, Tom, just so you know.
All right. You've got the window rolled up. All right, they get to attack. So let's see what the quick deaths do. All right, that one. So this time, in this round, you see the quick death's tails flip up over their head and fire something out. So that was his attack with that. And this guy, you see this guy right here get hit by, he like clutches his sides. He gets hit by something. It's like sticking out of him now, like a needle or something. So I'm going to do those first. The next one fires at, let's see, actually. Great thing about this, I can do any die I want. So I'm going to do a D3. Oh, he's going after, so who's on? Oh, and he hit you. So you get, Jaren, you get hit by something, a dart. It sticks into you, and you don't feel very good. You don't take any damage initially, but it's like a barb is shot into you. All right, let's see the next one. Ooh, that one hits. Okay. And that one hits. Okay, so those all hit. Now for their physical attacks.
I suggest that...
actually, he just takes more damage.
Look at you. Since he can't do anything.
Say that again.
Well, if he's got a barb in him, Eric's character doesn't have anything but grenades. He's not doing anything. He's a medic.
Yeah, do you call out to him? Because he's back by the explorer right now. All right, so the three that were grappled just get drawn into the creature's mouth, and it just starts to chew on them.
Love that.
And then this person right here gets attacked by the claws and grabbed. Oh, wrong dice. It's almost the same number.
Well, try to hit at least one of these guys, guys.
All right, and okay. All right, that's their attacks.
Well, who wants to go first, Jaren or Jill? Or Shahuzan or Jill?
Why don't Shahuzan? Why don't you? I seem to do pretty well when I follow you.
All right, guys, I'm still going in and out with the audio.
Oh, your role.
Oh.
two misses.
You can shoot three times, though.
About three.
All right,
dang it.
Three misses. So obviously that barb in your side is distracting you, and you your shots go wild.
Well,
and you actually take 10 points of damage, Jaren, from that.
Okay, I'm going to try very hard and finish it off.
All right, fire. Nope, you missed. All right, our villagers, our trusty villagers, get to attack. Some of them, the ones that aren't tangled up, that one misses. That one misses. Not a good round for the good guys. That one's a hit, though. And they're just They flipped over those that have automatic rifles have flipped over to full burst, and that brings down this guy. They're gone. That one's gone.
Yay!
Ooh, that's another hit. That's with the laser, though. And one more. So this is three shots because they have a Georgia rifle. And they're doing damage.
Seems like the villagers are more capable than we are.
They've got lots of practice defending their farms. So they hit with all three Georgia rounds. But the rolled lousy.
Yes, they did. A lot of clues there.
Yeah. 57. All right. That was on this guy over here. So you hear a little jar jet blast going off and explosions, but you have no idea what's going on because you can't see it. All right. That's it for that round. So roll initiative.
I'll roll this time.
Okay, you roll. Oh!
There you go. Oh, you kidding me?
I'm sorry. You guys get to move first. They get to attack first.
What's the point? Okay.
So, this guy is really beat up. He's in a bad way, although he's actually tangled up in the claws of the dead quick death. And the villager that each quick death is by is tangled up in their tentacles and being drawn into their mouth. So.
Okay, these are 5 meter squares, right?
Yes, they are.
Oh, Angel's gonna hate me on this. I can pretty much get to that quick death drive through if I punch it.
Which one?
Actually, the one.
Just right long there. Click on it. Like hold your mouse button down over the one you're talking about, and it'll draw that little circle. That one. Okay.
I can get to it in this round.
You could. You could floor it, and the explorers have. I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure they can accelerate that fast.
Yeah, I'm gonna just have my hand on the horn, and I'm gonna drive towards the thing in the hopes of trying to hit it with the side, as opposed to hitting it head on.
Okay. There it is. Explore acceleration meter per turn. Yeah, you can move 12 squares. So yeah, you can easily do that.
That's got insurance, right?
It's a Stroll Corporation, right? Oh, you okay. Mean it's the villager?
No, the explorer. It's Stroll yeah, Corporation. Well,
it's Stroll Corporation.
Okay, I thought it was his, but
no, it's one you guys got from the motor pool when you left Point True. All
right, we're gonna hit it on the side then.
All right, so you're gonna go.
Gonna try to avoid the people and then.
And you're just gonna smash into it?
Try to blindside it on the side.
Yeah, you're gonna try to hit the side of the quick explorer. Death.
Well, yeah, with the side of the explorer. I don't want
to. Oh, hit I see what you're saying. Okay, make a dex roll. All right. So you go. Driving up there, and you crank the wheel to try to smash the side into it, and you just miss it. You do manage to clip it, though.
And I figure while I'm driving up there, the other guys could fire at it. I'm not
yeah, sure. Exactly. So That's what's going to happen. All right, so that's what you're going to do. Actually,
sorry
we have
about
to...
that, guys.
And I guess, well, we know you guys are in the Explorer. You can leave your characters there. All right, so the quick death gets to attack first. It chews on the people. And you hear screams from behind the house over here.
Okay. Once we're over there, we'll be able to see there?
You can, yes, the explorer can see that. And he's got one guy wrapped up in his mouth and is just gnawing on him. And the guy looks like he's about passed out. He doesn't look good. All right, the other quick deaths. Well, actually, that's what they're doing. They're chewing on them right now. So
did our guys take shots yet this turn?
No, it's your turn now. They get to attack first. The quick deaths do. So that's their attacks. And it's your guys' turn to attack.
All right.
Where's the explorer? How do I move that thing?
Oh, here. It's under the quick death. I'll just move it right here.
Gotcha. Since I did such a great job. But, guys, you're point blank. But we were moving. So.
We are moving?
Well, yeah, he drove. No, you're not moving anymore, but that happened. Oh. It's all effectively simultaneous. So you were moving when you make the shot, but I'll take that into account. Go ahead and roll.
Okay.
But he's point blank, so.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nice. All right, 10d10.
There you go. Pretty good. Better than average.
Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. Fill it full of lead. It's hating life now. All right. Our villagers. Oh, wait. Jaren, you're up.
Hey. Yeah, I'm not sure where there we go.
Oh man, I think I just screwed the character. I forgot he had a gyro jet.
That's fine.
Action to roll 20.
Oh, you lost your connection.
I'll roll it for you.
Two of your rolls showed up, 49 and a 48, which are just misses.
You want me to roll the...
God is a status that I'm rolling the dice, so...
Actually, no, I take that back. The 48 is a hit.
You want me to roll the third?
All right, the 48 hits. The 49 just misses. You actually have a 40% chance to hit him. So go ahead and roll the 2d10.
Plus damage, whatever he rolls, and whatever the village. 14.
14, that's pretty good. Alright, now for our intrepid villagers. That's a miss. That's a hit. That's a miss. Now the guy with the Jar Jar rifle. Oops. Oh, you're not doing good this time.
And they're point blank.
Yeah, he missed. All right. So we had one hit with a burst, 33 points of damage.
Which one was that one?
This guy.
So he's
and
taken...
he drops.
Oh, trying.
All right. It is time to roll initiative. So the villagers are just cutting loose with their auto pistols. In fact, a lot of them are reloading this round. The auto rifles, I mean.
Seven, that's good.
That's for the quick death.
Oh. All you want me to roll, or you guys want to roll?
Go for it.
See?
All right, you guys move first.
Well? Try it another one?
Yeah, why not?
Try to, get this one over here.
I think that would do fine.
Dexterity?
Jaren, you're losing... You're in a lot of pain, and you're losing, stamina. Yeah.
Is, what's his name, able to,
Yeah, Eric, I gotta roll for it. Well, Eric just got there, so... Oops.
Well, I'm gonna do my dexterity to see if I hit this quick death. Or am I still...
Yep, go ahead.
Okay.
Alright, you made that one. Alright. So we'll resolve that here in a minute. The quick deaths get to munch on him. This guy, who was tangled up in the quick death, just collapses. He stops struggling. And the quick death turns to face the other guy that's next to him.
That's probably why I was able to hit him.
Yep. Alright. That's everybody's move. These two people are still getting untangled from being grappled. That one and that one, they're tangled up in the dead quick deaths. They're getting themselves untangled. These two people moved, and the other people are still where they're at. So, the quick deaths made their attack, so it's your guys' turn. So go ahead and... you rolled a 27, and you're going to smash into him with the Explorer. Go ahead and roll 5d10. These things are not much smaller than your Explorer.
24 points. All right, damage.
You smash into him.
Not bad.
And our fellow... guy there with the gyrojet rifle. He only has one round left, so he can only shoot once. Has to reload. And he misses. Alright. And, Shahuzin, what are you going to do? You ran up around the building.
That last rocket.
Alright, you're 20 meters away, so you've got a... Oh, it's just a minus 20, so... Okay, so you got a 38 instead of a 48, so fire will.
Doesn't matter.
Oh.
Missed. Okay. But this guy here doesn't miss. Does 26 points of damage. Unfortunately, that one, that quick death hasn't been hurt that much.
It's looking like the villagers are protecting us.
I don't know. You peppered one with a machine gun, and you smashed into the other one, and I can't seem to do math tonight. There we go. All right, and so that's it for over here. They got these two over here. That's a hit. And that's a miss. And this one drops over here.
Yay!
I like to think it was my car.
Yeah, so as you pull out, they run around the side of the building. As you smash into it, you knock it back, and they fire at it. The guy close, the gyro jet goes wide, but the machine gun blast from behind you peppers it. All right. Next round, there's only one left.
And oh wait, I don't think I attacked this round.
Yeah, they killed the one you would have been attacking, so.
Oh, that other one is too far?
Well, it's blocked. There's a house in the way. Two now. So you were up here, and you can't see through this house, and now you're over here, and you can't see through that house, so you actually can't see what's going on over here.
I can shoot through the houses.
No, actually, you probably couldn't. These are pretty sturdy houses.
I'm going to roll our initiative here.
All right, roll your initiative.
Nice. Bad.
All right, you guys get to move.
How far can I move the Explorer?
12.
Just go the quickest way. Don't worry about hitting civilians. We're trying to see the town here. A couple people.
So this guy is dead, or seriously injured in the mouth of the dead quick death. This guy looks like he's on his last legs. All right, so let me move. Oops, I didn't mean to do that. I just wanted to grab him. One, two, three.
Just pepper him at point blank with the machine gun.
Will do.
All right, there's them. And the quick death gets to attack. Oh, I'm looking for dice on my table. It misses, actually. Alright. But this guy stops moving. He collapses in the quick death's mouth. your guys' attack.
Light him up.
Okay. Oh!
No. Nice.
10d10.
Okay. All right, Jaren's reloading this round. That leaves...
Is Eric at his character yet?
Eric is now at Jaren's character, and Jaren's standing still long enough. That's good enough. All right, so he whips out his spray hypo and just plunges it into Jaren's arm while he's reloading. He says, that should stop whatever that thing injected you with. He hit you with a dose of antitox, so you're not going to take any more damage, but you did take 20 points of damage. And I've already marked on your character that you took it, so So we have these. This guy, I've got four villagers that can shoot. What was that, Shane?
Yeah, seven pissed off villagers that can see him.
Yeah.
Well, one of you's got a hit.
They did. Actually, the last two both hit.
Okay.
And between the two of them, they do 10d10, and the thing collapses. All right. Excuse me.
I guess we should tend to the villagers.
Yeah. So, two of them are wounded. Several of them look like they're in really bad shape. They took the darts just like Jaren did. Three of them did. And they're looking pretty up, but two of them are at negative hit points. So I'm going to assume Eric runs over to this guy right here. There's enough time that Eric can inject both of them with the stay dose. So but they're in a bad way, and so what do you guys want to do now? So the battle's over, they've been stabilized.
Get them,
but
to
they
the,
need medical attention.
Is the best medical facility at the mine?
No. The doctor has a medical facility here in town.
Well, let's just take them to there, and then I'm gonna walk.
It's down there where it says doc at the bottom of the map.
Call Checheka and all the other ones, people over there, and see what's going on. Tell them what happened and make sure they're not been attacked themselves.
All right. So, you load the two that are really hurt. You can load them in the Explorer and drive them down there.
Okay.
And you guys do that, and the doctor's like, oh my gosh, and he rushes out and he helps you get him in. And I'll assume Eric stays to help him. Since he does have medical training, he can help him out there. And they start working on them, and all the other people that were wounded start walking down towards the medical office, and they'll get there in a minute or two. But they're pretty beat up and they're limping. A couple of the people, there's only one of the villagers that wasn't injured in some way, either attacked by the quick death physically or hit with one of the darts. But the dart seems the poison from the dart seems to run its course fairly quickly, like in a matter of three turns, but it's pretty damaging.
What was the most the city building? Is that the most fortified building in the city?
Actually, these six houses that you're around the circle are probably the most fortified. But after that, yeah, the city building would be.
I'm just trying to figure out about where to get all the people.
Yeah, when there's no. There were people in these houses. You see some of the families come out. The kids were all in the school. No, actually, no. This was the sleep period. So actually, most of the people were in their homes. So some people were in the houses over here. Some of the people were in the houses around the circle. But these six houses around the circle were the original six houses in the village when it was originally started. They're the older families.
Have we heard anything from Cheka and all them?
Yeah, so you call them, and they said, we weren't attacked, but something set off the trap at the dome. Just now, as you were calling.
Can you guys get out there?
Yeah, we're heading out now.
Okay. What do you guys want to do? You want to? It'll take us 15 minutes to probably get out there on the.
Yeah, it'll take 15 minutes or so. You'll have to drive through the fields. There are paths through the fields that you can do that to get past them, because they drive the tractors and stuff down there too. But and the robots go down there. Actually, it's more robots than tractors. But there are paths you can drive to get out past the fields, and then you're just overland. But yeah, it'll take you about 15 minutes or so to get out there.
What do you think, Shahood, on the up for it? You injured because you took 20 points of damage.
Yeah, maybe we shouldn't.
Well, I'm just saying we've got the machine gun. It might be good to go out there, but I want to see what Shahu's on.
Shahu's, and what do you want to do?
Probably can't hear us.
Oh, he's typing.
Aha, good, good, good. He's up for it.
Oh, okay. I didn't quite finish typing in my second. All right.
That's the problem.
Okay. So, you leave. We'll say Eric stays to help tend to the wounded. He does do some first aid on Jaren before you guys drive off, healing 10 points of damage back. you guys start driving, and Checka and Zolki call in. He says, "Well, all right, we're lifting off now. We're headed out there." And he just keeps the line open. He goes, "All right, we're approaching the dome. Oh crap!" He goes, "We've got the Sathar out here. It looks like it's unconscious, just laying on the ground by the dome."
Put a gun on it and see if you can bond it.
All right, we're going in. Carefully.
If you can, check its mouth for anything that it might use to suicide itself.
All right, so he keeps up a running commentary. They land, you hear the air car shut off. They land the air car. Zolki comes out with his, you know, weapons drawn, trained on it. And they approach. The thing is completely unconscious. Looks like the Doze grenade got it. That you had left. It had lifted up the dome to get into it and set off the trap. And so the dome dropped back down. But it's laying there in the ground. And they're able to secure it. They search through, you know, they search it as best they can. They can't find anything that, like a poison capsule or anything in its mouth. And they say, "Well, we've got it. How far away are you guys?" And at this point, you're probably about halfway there. Do you want him to do anything while you're coming, or just wait for you?
Yes.
Just wait, I would think.
Okay. So they secure it, and you guys pull up, and you've got an unconscious Athar laying there.
Okay. Not something I was expecting, so I'm not sure exactly what to do with it, except for maybe take it back to the mine.
Yeah, at this point, you get a call from the mine, actually, saying the Strel team has arrived. They're taking Ripardo back. They've dropped off some cameras for you.
Tell them to stay where they are. Don't take him back yet. We have something else to take back with you.
Okay, what do you have?
A Caesar.
Okay, it's alive?
We're hoping to keep it that way, yes.
All right.
If you could get out here with something to keep it tranquilized, we'd probably do better.
All right, we'll dispatch the other air car.
Okay.
All right, so it takes it just a couple minutes, and the Sathar seems to be out.
Those grenades last for how many rounds?
They're D100 minutes.
Minutes? Okay.
Uh-huh.
They'll be able to get out here.
I'm pretty sure. No, I'm double-checking that it's minutes and not turns, but I'm pretty sure the those grenades were minutes. The stun okay. things were... Oh, no, it's D100 turns. Okay. I take that back, then. I thought it was minutes. All right, so it starts to come around about the time that conversation ends.
Is there some kind of does anybody have some kind of stimulant on us? I don't.
You'd want to like you want to try to wake it up or knock it out more?
Knock it out more.
So you would want a stay dose or another dose grenade you could drop on it. If anybody has one.
I used my doze grenade at the trap in the grove.
Yeah, and Eric stayed behind, or he'd have his med kit, and he could do something.
And I don't have anything.
Jill has her shock gloves.
Shock it.
And we have a stun stick. Check has a stun stick.
What would be the most effective? Probably the stun stick.
Oh, either one.
Try the stun stick. Zorki has a ghost grenade.
Yeah, let me double check something really quick.
And Jaren has got those grenades.
Turns. Yeah, so, alright, so, I just have to make a stamina check. So what are you going to use, a doze grenade or the stun stick?
What do you guys think? Stun stick or doze grenade?
I'd try the doze grenade first.
Let's try the doze grenade.
Alright, so you guys all stand back, toss the doze grenade on him, it goes... And it was stirring, it just slumps back out.
All right. I'd rather not.
Okay. A couple of minutes later, another air car flies up and lands next to you. And some other sterile agents jump out. And one of them's carrying a freeze field.
Perfect.
And runs up places it on the sapphire and activates it, and it gets enveloped with it. Now, all right, you guys, let's get it loaded up back into this air car.
Okay.
And so you guys load it up.
Is it slimy?
It is slimy.
Ew. It is
a slimy worm.
Ew.
But it's unconscious, and you manhandle it into the air car, they say, all right, let's meet back at the mine for a minute, and then we're headed back to Point True, so we'll meet you back there.
All right, then we'll head back to the mine with them.
Okay. So the two air cars go fairly quickly. It takes 10 minutes or so for the Explorer to get there. But they're waiting. They get everybody, since not everybody will fit in any room except for the workout room. They've got the entire mine crew is there now. There's an additional 4 agents from headquarters. They've got, by the time you arrive, they've got Reparto loaded up. Also with in the actually there's 3 agents because they needed another seat for Reparto. They've just stuffed the Sapphire into the cargo bay of the air car. They've got him. He's moved into the air car as well. He's still unconscious. They've just got him, you know, kind of restrained there in the air car. They say, okay, we're taking them back. This is definitely an unexpected event. There will be a Starlight agent. We just got word. They're en route. They're probably about 20 minutes out at this point. You guys wait here until they arrive. And give them a full report, and then once that's done, call into headquarters, and we'll let you know what we want you to do next. And if you guys have any ideas, feel free to make suggestions.
Before they leave, I'd like to call into headquarters just to confirm that these are the right people.
Okay. You make a call back to the person who assigned you the job, and he asks you a few questions, you ask them some questions, and he confirms that, yeah, that's who they send out.
Okay, then we'll just wait for this to blog out.
Okay.
That was a good idea.
What was that?
I said that was a good idea.
Okay.
I like that.
So...
Shane's typing. I guess you
yeah,
could.
Sorry.
I was thinking it was Jaren, but okay. You're there. The crew's like, the rest of the mine crew says, so what do we do now? Obviously, we're going to talk to the Starlight agent, but I assume we just continue on at this point.
Yeah.
You can see a couple of them are quite unnerved by having seen the Sapphire. They all seem to be taking okay. So, yeah, if you want. You can get a sample of quick death
That's
meat.
That's one of my things as a There's, character. You
I know.
Dare to try to eat things.
Well, you'll have to go back down to the village for that. But is there anything you want to do in the 20 minutes or so you've got to sit and wait?
That's how you tread off the last part.
Oh, is there anything? Sorry, my voice is going. Is there anything you want to do in the 20 minutes or so you're waiting for the Starlight agent to show up?
I think just check perimeter cameras or anything, because There were four quick deaths out there. There might be more, so.
Okay.
And just maybe see if we can get in touch with the village and see if they need anything. All right. Just do that in the communicator. I don't know about you guys.
I'm insanely curious as to what quick death meat tastes like.
Well, maybe you can have a barbecue later. All right, so you call down to the village, Shane, or Rennie, I should say, and you get a hold of Eric of Dol Multan, and he says, "Yeah, it was touch and go there for a little bit, but we've got the two that were seriously wounded stabilized. They're going to be on the mend for a week or two. Everybody else, you know, everybody's going to pull through. The poison was powerful, but not enough to kill anybody, and it was fairly quick acting, so it ran its course really fast. How's Susan?
He's doing okay. Probably could use some assistance from you at some point, though.
Okay. Well, so what did you guys find at the dome?
We found a Sathar.
Really?
Indeed.
That sounds exciting. Is it still alive?
Last time we checked, it was.
Okay, so I assume you fill him in.
Yes, we're going to fill him in, and is he in range of the? He's in range of the first trap we set.
Yeah, you both are. You're both within the first one with the cameras is actually between the village and the mine. It's not on the straight line. It's a little north of the straight line, but it's between you. So yeah, it's just a couple kilometers away.
Has it been tripped?
No, it hasn't.
All right. Oh.
All right, so the Starlaw agent arrives. Eric Carr with UPF Starlaw branding lands at the there at the mine, and a woman steps out, human, and she's wearing a Starlaw Ranger uniform, and she walks over, and as she first walks up to Yolanda and presents her credentials, and Yolanda basically turns her over, you know, brings her over to you guys. She goes, "All right, let's walk through this." Sorry. And you guys go inside and sit down in the kind of the dining room, general room there. And she starts talking to you guys and asking you to give her the whole story of what happened.
Okay, well, I'll fill her in, give her all the details.
Don't give her all the details. Make us look like we did more than...
Some creative editing. Okay, I can do that.
All right. So, you give her the rundown. It takes you about an hour to go over everything that you found, what you discovered. And at that point, she wants to go see. Where do you want to take her first? She wants to see basically all of the sites. But there's really only there's the three.
What time of day is it?
It's still daylight. You guys have been up now for a long time. It was the beginning of the sleep cycle when all this started.
I say we take her out to the dome first, just cause we have more daylight out there, and then we need to check around for tracks.
Okay.
And that's the one. Worried about losing the most because we need to find out where the Sathar went, where it came from.
Okay. All right, so you basically commandeer the two air cars from the mine compound. Well, actually, one of them, because she has her own. And you guys fly out to the dome. And you want to look for tracks, Randy? Go ahead and roll.
All right.
Ah, success. All right, so the Sathar came in on foot, at least the close-in area, and there are tracks going out towards the northeast, towards the pass out of this valley.
I'll inform the Starlaw agent.
What was that?
I'm going to tell the Starlaw agent, yeah. Hey, there's tracks so, over here headed north. North, right? Yeah.
Northeast, yeah. All right, so she looks at it. She takes pictures. She lifts the dome up, and you know, gets down inside and takes pictures of what's down in there. And she puts the dome back. She goes, "Leave this here." She goes over and looks at the track that the South are left. He says, okay, we'll come back to this, but we've got this now. And you guys follow it for a little ways, and Sathar seemed to have been on foot for a while. So if it's got a vehicle somewhere, it's further up the valley. But she doesn't want to continue up there. She wants to go see the other site, other two sites first, actually, the other cache and where the body was found.
We can do that, but tracks, it's best to get them when they're fresh.
I know this, but this will only take a few minutes. We'll come back.
Okay.
And they're not going anywhere. It doesn't look like it's going to rain, so we've got another 6 or 7 hours of daylight, so.
All right, we'll take her to the other ones.
All right, you take her to the other ones. She, you know, she sees the Cybernook evidence. She's got Sathar creatures all over the thing. You guys called in about some other little squirrel creature too, right? Where's that?
Oh, yeah, psycho squirrels. I believe we have one at the doc's office.
The doctor's office. All right.
I make sure to say the psycho squirrel to make sure.
Okay.
That if it's named, I've
named it. Psycho squirrel, huh? All right, whatever. And so you take her to those sites. You you take her, and then you go back down. You get to the doctor's office, and the doctor's just coming out, and he's finally treated, you know, everybody. He comes out to see what's going on, because he's been there. He hasn't gone home. He's been watching the two people that were really badly injured. Everybody else has been sent home already. He pulls the little critter out, and gives it to her. It's, you know, he goes, she says, "Will you back this up? I'm going to take it back to Point Drew." So he goes in and does that. And at this point, another air car arrives. It's another Starlaw air car, and there's four people in it. And she walks over and confers with them for a while. For a few minutes, and they take off, and you see that one head north. She says they're going to go follow up on those tracks. How long have you guys been up? She's looking at you. You guys are looking pretty tired.
A long time.
Quite a while.
All right.
Once we get on a case, we don't like to stop until we have it solved.
Okay. Well, you guys, there's not much we can do here at this point. And now that Sathar are involved, it's definitely out of Streel's hands. However, you guys get some rest. I'm going to report, write up everything you guys have told me. And then in the morning, We'll talk again. But there's one other loose end, and that's these quick deaths. We've got to figure out where they came from. And I think that's something you guys can help with. But get some sleep, and we'll talk in the morning. Well, okay. I guess it'll be evening, whatever. No, it'll be getting dark soon. You got a few hours before the normal day cycles. The normal sleep cycle is over. It'll still be light. But go get some sleep. And you guys are right there. You can go over to the city hall if you want. And that's where your rooms are. So
that's what I think we'll do.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and stop there because my voice is just about gone.
Yeah, I've been noticing you've been struggling.
It's getting worse. So, we'll go ahead and stop the adventure there. That's actually an endpoint. You've captured the Sathar agent. You actually got him alive. And you even got a live Sathar at the moment. So, I will go back through everything that's happened, and I'll be awarding experience points. For all the characters, and I'll send that out. Do you guys have any thoughts, comments, questions on the game? Where you guys want to go next?
Well, I think we should probably have all the other people.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Talk about that.
All right. How did this go? Besides my voice being all gravelly.
It's fun.
Well, I felt bad for you in that respect.
Yeah, it was. Feel a little guilty. But, I had a lot of fun.
I felt like I actually was useful this time, so.
Yeah.
But, too. It's nice to have the Sathar. It's interesting. It'd be. As a scout, I kind of want to follow up on those tracks, but I understand if they want us to go for the quick deaths. But we really should talk about that when everybody else is around.
Okay.
So, from that point of view, I can't say anything, but from the point of view of what we did, it was fun. You had us moving around there a lot, so.
Yeah, this was the combat session. Mm.
Yeah, the... Just, I gotta get better with using the tools on Roll 20.
Yeah, that will just come with time. I'm still figuring it out myself, too.
But yeah, there's, I don't know, did we do anything wrong? Did we set you back there?
No.
Yeah.
Things were, I actually had a timeline that I was moving things on, and that's just how things fell out.
Well, we could take criticism too. So you.
No, I think everything went well. I think it was a little better about making clear on the roles, what needed to be done, and what the percentages were. So, if you ever have questions on that, be sure to ask me.
The only thing is, I kind of sometimes, and I understand why you can't sometimes, but I kind of want to know target numbers sometimes before I roll.
Well, you actually should know your target numbers fairly straightforward.
Well, I know, but some of the modifiers.
Oh, some of the modifiers, yeah. So, yeah, if you want, just go ahead and ask me. I don't care if you guys know the target numbers. So all just right. Remind me in the future what the modifiers I'm applying are. So, but I'll tell you that. That's not an issue. I'm not one of those GMs who wants to keep that secret.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, get some rest, man.
Yeah, I hope you feel better.
Oh, I will. It's just a gravelly voice. I actually feel fine. It's just my voice isn't working. All right. Well, we will sign off there then.
Yeah, get some rest. Right. Don't bother editing the magazine until... tomorrow.
Well, not till tomorrow. Maybe not till Sunday. So
there you go.
Alrighty. Talk to you guys later.
Bye. All right. Take care.